Oh, what glory awaits me in heaven's bright city. When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them. Still Jesus, He'll outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. It'll happy reunions on streets of pure gold. An angel choir singing glad praises forever. But Jesus, He'll outshine them all. The sparkling river is flowing, happy faces all glowy. Land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection. Still Jesus, He'll outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Streets of pure gold, an angel choir singing glad praises forever. But Jesus, He'll outshine them all. Angel choir singing glad praises forever. But Jesus, He'll outshine.
Thank you, Brother Lassiter. I love serving God. I love preaching. I love the work of the ministry. I love God at work in the ministry. I don't meet with Brother Reed and say, "Now, Brother Reed, here's what I'm preaching on. Choose the songs that match it." Nor do I meet with the special musicians and say, "I want you to sing this song for my message today." So Brother Todd felt led of God to sing about glory. And if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to preach about glory this morning. When you're led of God, when God leads me and God leads somebody else that's led of God and listening to God, there's always unity and harmony, not confusion, not conflict. For those of you that are visiting, I want you to know how pleased we are to have you as our guest today. And I want to say a word about our patriotic song. A number of years ago, I got so concerned about the trend toward liberalism, humanism, and secularism, the anti-American attitude in our land, and the anti-Christian state relationship, the heresy in that. And I got so concerned about people being ashamed to be called Baptist and have forgotten the heritage of Baptist in church history as well as American history. I asked Brother Reed to start leading in every Sunday morning service a patriotic hymn. Most weeks, once a week, we'll pledge our allegiance to our nation. Our nation does not exist because of socialist and communist or because of humanist and secularist. It exists because there were people who believed the Bible and were led of God and established a Christian nation. And the record books of history in Washington and Pennsylvania reveal that, but they're rewriting the books today to to hide it. I wanted you to know why we do that. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." You ought to circle that, glory that shall be revealed. "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an ensample or example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want you to notice in verse number 1, it talks about, Peter's talking about how the fact that he is going to be a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, he talks about the effect upon his life. And he, verse number 4, talks about the crown of glory that waits in heaven for those who love his appearing. And then in verse number 10, he tells us that the God of all grace hath called us unto his glory by Christ Jesus. And then it says, "To him, to God, be glory and dominion forever and ever." I want to speak to you on the word glory and what its meaning is here in this passage. Heavenly Father, help me today to bring the message you've given us to preach. Lord, I must confess to you that when it comes to talking about heaven, I'm not an expert. The only thing I know is what I've read, and you have limited what you've said about heaven in the Word of God simply because our human minds could not comprehend it or fathom it. It's going to be far beyond anything we could ever think or ask or imagine. Now help me to be able to share some things with these dear people in this message that would cause the saved to get excited about their future and to cause the unsaved to get concerned, because as they are, they're not going to heaven. They must be born again. Now, Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit and speak through me. Help me to speak plainly, using very simple terms, so everyone can understand exactly what's being said. And would you save every unsaved person in this building today? Would you move on the hearts of those that are saved and in need of a church home, that they need to be a part of a church like this church? Would you help those who have been saved and not been scripturally baptized after they're saved to come today and be obedient to their Lord and Savior in believer's baptism? And then there are some who need a church home. God, give direction to them and draw them and let them know that this is an old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church where they can hear the Word of God and learn and grow and serve our Savior. And Lord, if there be Christians here today that are not right, bring great conviction upon their soul. And may they come to an old-fashioned altar and do whatever they need to do to get their life right with God. Now, we love you. Help me today. Speak to our hearts. Save every unsaved soul that's hearing the gospel on this piece of property today. And we'll thank you in advance for every soul saved and every heart that's touched. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you today on one of the most difficult subjects to me in the Bible. And that subject is heaven. Or as stated in our text, verse number 10, glory. Glory. I know a lot about sin and sorrow, and I kind of think you do too. I can speak with authority on those subjects. I know about salvation. And I've gladly received God's wonderful gift purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know about the local church that Jesus established. And I've been a pastor of a Baptist church for 33 years. And for 10 more years, I've served as an evangelist ministering to local churches throughout the world. But when it comes to heaven, I've only seen heaven by eyes of faith. I've read about it, but as of yet, I've never been there. There's only two people I know of in Scripture that got a glimpse of heaven. One was Paul, and one was the Apostle John. Paul said, "What I saw is not even lawful for me to mention." And what John saw, he recorded in parts of the book of the Revelation. Even though I've read about heaven, I must confess to you, I can't comprehend all that the Bible says about that marvelous place called glory. No wonder God has told us in His Word that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now that context has to do with our Christian life. But application-wise can also be made from that verse to that place called glory or heaven. He says, eyes have not seen the many wonderful sights that are in heaven. Now, we've seen many wonderful things. We've seen sunrises and sunsets. I've got sunrises and sunsets from all over the world on film. From South America to Mexico to Europe to the Holy Land to even the Alaskan cruise. Hawaii, sunsets and sunrises. I must confess, I've got more sunsets than sunrises. I've seen the glory and the splendor of mountains and the beauties of valleys. I've seen some scenes of lakes and oceans that are beyond my ability to describe. Even when nature is at her best, she can't compare with the supernatural glory and beauty of heaven. The ears of man have heard the sweetest harmonies. We've heard the birds sing and the sounds of a symphony. But never has a melody of harp or chorus of song given us a true sound of glory, which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Men's hearts and minds have devised and designed many wonderful things of majesty and beauty. Colors and metals and jewels and homes and machines and ships for the sea, for the air, and for space. But the imagination has never been able to adequately open the gates of pearl which shuts in the beauty of that place called glory, that heavenly city. The glory that awaits the child of God is one of the deep things of God revealed only by the Holy Spirit to believers. The word glory has several different meanings. It could mean great honor and recognition, fame. It could mean a condition of highest achievement splendor, and prosperity. In other places, it could mean the highest degree of pleasure, satisfaction, and bliss. But in our scripture today, it refers to that wonderful place and that state that is promised to every saved person by God. It's talking about heaven. It's talking about that place called glory. Glory land. May I say first of all that glory is the future destiny of every child of God. The Bible says nothing that defileth can enter into that place. A lost sinner can't go to heaven because he'd pollute it. That's the reason we who are sinners have to be saved and forgiven and cleansed of our sin before we can go in. We don't go in because we cleaned us up. We go in because God cleaned us up through the blood of Jesus Christ when we accepted Him as our Savior. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus." After that you've suffered a while, that's this life. He'll make you perfect. That's glorification. And establish and strengthen and settle you in that place called glory. Our scripture text tells us that God has called us unto His eternal glory. Do you realize that when the Holy Spirit of God begins to work on your heart, He's not just singling you out as a sinner? He's not just condemning you because of your lifestyle? When the Holy Spirit of God convicts us concerning our sin, He is doing so because He's trying to call us to salvation in Jesus Christ so He can give us glory. Glory. You do understand you can't go to heaven in your lost condition. You can't walk down that street of gold without being cleansed of your sin. You can't be cleansed of your sin without being washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Every person's future who is saved is glory. It's glory. Now, our scripture text tells us that God has called us into His eternal glory. I'm amazed at people that get mad at me when I give an invitation and try to get them to accept Christ as Savior. Somehow or another, they think that I'm trying to humiliate them. No, I'm trying to say, come and go to heaven with me. I'm trying to say, God's got something to you far better than this world's ever offered. God's got something for you that's beyond your understanding. He's talking about that place called heaven. Heaven. He calls us to His eternal glory. When you feel at that tug on your heartstrings and you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit superseding the preacher's voice saying to you, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. God is not trying to condemn you. He's trying to call you unto His glory. He's trying to get you into that place where He can give you life everlasting and a home in heaven with Him. Glory must surely belong to God alone, yet He has called the saved unto His glory. Glory is where God dwells. And glory is the place where He's prepared mansions for His children. It is glory for us, even though we deserve nothing but eternal damnation. God has called us unto His glory, even though we deserve eternal shame. God has called us to His glory, even though we're often ashamed of our own sinful, foolish life. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. And we never can deserve it or earn it. It's given to us because the only way we could ever get saved is God has to do the saving. It is a free gift. You can't work hard enough, long enough. You can't earn enough. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough works of righteousness or religious works to get you one millionth of an inch into heaven. Jesus had to do it all for us. And he offers it to us as a free gift. And you know, he doesn't limit who can come for salvation. He says all may come. He just limits the way. The way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's not one chance in 10 billion you could slip into heaven without trusting Jesus. I thank God that God has called us unto His glory, and it's for the insignificant Christian, the one who really doesn't stand out, the one who doesn't have any super abilities or talents. He's just faithful. It's as much for you as it is for the one that can do everything. It's for the Christian and for the suffering saint and the dying martyr. He called us, the saved, unto His eternal glory. Glory is the future destiny of every child of God. Secondly, consider the child of God and the glory that waits us. This glory, this place called heaven, has been promised by God Himself. Psalm 73, verse 24, David said, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." David remembered Enoch. And he remembered Enoch walked with God and was not, because God translated. One day, Enoch and God was walking, and God said, "Enoch, I want you to come on up and be with me." And God just took him without death on into heaven. That's what the Bible says in Genesis. And some of you are thinking, "Preacher, do you believe that?" 100% I believe it. Just like God said it. Absolutely, I believe it. And David is remembering that. And David said, "While I'm here on this earth, you'll guide me by thy counsel, by thy word. And afterward, you'll receive me to glory." Thank God, here is the future of every child of God. One day at the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the archangel, we shall be caught up unto that glory to be with the Lord forever. 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." At that time, we'll be given a glorified body, prepared to inhabit glory. Now, if this old physical body is going to live in heaven in glory, it needs a body fitted for glory. And God calls it a glorified body. A glorified body. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21 says, "For our conversation, our life, and our future is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the workings whereby He is able to subdue all things to Himself." So God's going to give us a body when Jesus comes back, like Jesus' glorified body. You remember that body was flesh and bone, not flesh and blood, flesh and bone. You remember that body was recognizable as Jesus? But you remember it was a spiritual body? It was a body that could walk through a locked door, but a body that could be touched. It was a body that would no longer be limited by the things of this world, but it was a body that would bear the scars of suffering on the cross of Calvary. Now God says that it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He doth appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This glorified body is going to be a body like unto the resurrected body of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the glorified body of the saved. The glorified body of the saved. You say, if that's true for the saved, what's it going to be like for the lost? Well, you're going to have a body, all right. But the same things that controlled you and consumed your lust in this body in life will do so throughout eternity, but never shall be fulfilled. It is to this glory that every one of us have been called. If we have been truly saved and called to this glory, how can we be satisfied with this wicked and sinful world any longer? I'm amazed at people who say they're a Christian and they love the world more than they love Jesus. They love the things of sin more than what God has for us. I'm amazed at people that say they're good Christians, don't want to come to church, don't want to come to Sunday school, don't want to worship God, don't want to live for God, don't want to tell anybody about God. If they can get by with it, they're going to try to live like a lost man and yet claim to be saved. I don't understand that. This world is not my home. We've been called unto His glory. How can we justify living in willful, habitual sin any longer? I'm not talking about you being perfect in the flesh. We have a perfect standing in Christ. That's the reason we can go to heaven. But God wants us to be in a process of dying to the flesh and living for Christ. He wants us to be in the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Glory is especially joined to justification. They go together. Justification is a part of the judicial act of God when you get saved because you've accepted Christ as Savior down here. He declares you righteous in heaven. Justified. It's joined to justification. Romans 8 says, "And whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified." Now I want you to know today, you are assured, if you're saved, of a glorified body, just as surely as you can say, "I am saved by faith in Jesus Christ." What a great gift. What a great treasure. The way of salvation was pre-planned by God. He calls sinners to faith and repentance. He saves them when they come to Him, and He justifies them before God with a promise of glorification. My goodness. God pre-planned salvation for us. He calls the sinner by faith to be saved. He saves them when we come to Him and trust Him as Savior and justifies us before God with the promise of glorification. These are precious promises from God that He places on as pearls on a string in perfect order by God. He plans salvation. He calls sinners to repentance and faith. Those who answer the call are justified, and all who are justified shall be glorified. Prepared for glory. Only those who are saved will be partakers of the glory of God. Just as Jesus has been preparing for us for nearly 2,000 years, that place called glory, we cannot be glorified as long as sin remains unforgiven in us. For you to have that promise of glory and glorification, at Jesus coming, we must be pardoned. We must be born again. We must be set apart in Christ. Then, and only then, are we fit for glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open faces beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed under the image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The sinner is brought, the sinner is bought on Calvary for His glory, and we're brought into glory by the suffering of Jesus Christ. Then may I say, thirdly, that place called glory will be for the entire person of the saved, body, soul, and spirit. When you go to heaven, you don't go to heaven just as some little spooky spirit, little ghost floating around on a cloud. You're not going to be a glorified Casper. You say, "What am I going to be like in heaven?" You're going to be like you, with a body like Jesus, glorified, fitted for heaven. Oh, what a promise. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, 42, 43, and 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. This body is sown corruptible, it's raised in corruption, in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it's raised in power, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Philippians 3, 21 says that He'll change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Christ's salvation saves the entire person of the sinner. Soul is saved, spirit is made alive, and finally the last part of us to get saved is the body. Now you do understand when you accept Christ, this body had really understood salvation yet. It fights against the spiritual workings of God. And it'll not know the fullness of salvation until Jesus comes and we receive our glorified body. Then in body, soul, and spirit we'll be fitted for heaven, for that place called glory. Thank God this old vile body is going to be changed when it realizes its salvation at the rapture. What alterations will this body go through? Well, it'll be made perfect. Some of you little strut and tomcats think you're perfect now, but you're not. You're a sinner. You're dying. You're wretched. You're not even worthy for heaven. Some of you little old girls running around trying to attract these tomcat boys. You're not ready for heaven. You're not perfect. You spend time. Hey, if you was perfect, you wouldn't have to spend time with a mirror and a hairbrush and all that stuff you put on your face and your lips. If you was perfect, you wouldn't have to put on all the deodorant and the perfume. Ah, but when Jesus comes, the saved will be given a perfect body. The little children will be fully developed. Dwarfs will be full size. Blind all will see. The lame all will walk. The palsy will no longer tremble. The deaf will hear and the mute will sing God's praises when Jesus comes. Crutches and wheelchairs will be left behind. There'll be no more aching backs and weak knees. There'll be no more graying hair or failing eyesight. All of God's saints will be glorified. We'll be like Christ. In that day, we'll lay down our guns and our swords and we'll not study war anymore. We'll lay our burdens down and wear a crown of victory. In that day, we'll no longer worry about the reports of war nor the thief that comes by night. In that day, we'll no longer need the hospitals and the undertakers or the funeral homes. They'll all be out of business as far as we're concerned. In that day, tears of sorrow in this life will cease, for we shall be called to His blessed glory. Now, let me conclude. He who calls the repenting sinner, the believing sinner, unto His glory, also shall condemn the rejecting sinner to Satan's hell. I can't emphasize light without talking about darkness. I can't emphasize the goodness of God without talking about the wickedness of Satan. I can't stand here this morning and tell you about heaven with also giving the opposite and tell you there is a place called hell. You don't hear much preaching about it today. Not everybody's going to heaven, only those who accept Christ as their Savior. The Bible tells us that the unsaved shall spend there forever in that place called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. The eternal contrast is before us this morning. We're either called unto God's glory or we're condemned to Satan's hell. That's where we stand. There's only two kinds of people here today. Those called to His glory, going to heaven. Those that are condemned already to that place called hell. Now let me tell you something. Every person that is called unto His glory at one time was in that group that was condemned to hell. But they heard that call. They felt that tug at their heartstrings. They answered that call and accepted Jesus as Savior. That's what makes the difference. Jesus is what makes the difference. The simple decision that makes the difference in how is how you answer this question. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You can accept Him as your Savior and be one of those who are called unto His glory. Or you can ignore Christ or reject Him. It's the same. Ignoring Him when He speaks or just flat out rejecting Him, it all is the same. And to you that ignore Him or reject Him, God gives you this promise. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You either answered that call to God's glory and accepted the way, Jesus Christ, or you have ignored Him or rejected Him. Does it make any difference if you said, I plan to get saved someday, and you just don't get around to someday? Or you shake your fist in the face of God and say, I reject you. The result is the same. Lost in hell forever and forever. God states it plainly once again in 1 John 5:12. It's the first verse I ever memorized as a little boy. If you can't understand it, something's bad wrong with you, because every word is made up of a one-syllable word. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that's where the question is. Have you received Christ that you might have life? Or have you ignored Him or rejected Him? And if so, you have not life everlasting. And my plea to you this morning is to accept my Savior. Don't ignore Him. Don't put Him off. Don't turn Him away. Don't reject Him. He's calling you today unto His glory. You can be saved today and know it, and have the authority and the assurance of this word behind it. You say, preacher, I'd like to be, but I don't know how. In a moment, we're going to have a word of invitation. And if you'll come, we'll show you how to be saved the Bible way. May I say to you that everybody who's ever gotten saved had to get saved the same way. They had to come trusting Christ. There's no two or three or four different ways of salvation. We don't have a choice. It's Jesus or hell. And I'm asking you today, if you don't know 100% sure you're saved, would you come today and let us show you how to be saved? We won't embarrass you. We won't point you out. You won't have to make a speech. But we'll take you aside lovingly and personally and show you in the Bible how to be saved. And you can go home today knowing heaven is your home. Wouldn't you like to know heaven is your home? Wouldn't you like to know that glory awaits you? Are you satisfied to go home and know that if you died today, you'd go to hell? I've never met a person that in their right mind that said, I want to go to hell. Well, that's where you're going if you don't trust Jesus. It's that plain and that simple. I don't know how to put it any plainer, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus has promised all who come to Him, He'll not cast one out. He has promised, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you come today and let us show you how to be saved so you can receive Him as your Savior and know that when Jesus comes or your life comes to an end, which one comes first, you have heaven, glory awaiting for you. Father, I've tried to be very plain and very simple this morning with the message. I sure felt your presence while I was preaching. God, I believe there's some people here that need to get ready for glory. They need to get saved. If they should